this week, October 27th, 2015, on The Digital Story. Favorite hardware from Photo Plus Expo. Interview with Simone Wilson and John Hershey. Wrap-up of the TDS Fall Photography Workshop. All this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome to another Digital Story. I have a pretty darn good show for you this week. We're going to start out with the weekly update, of course, but I've got some good items in there, things you may not have heard of before. Then we're going to chat with Simone Wilson and John Hershey, and they together have created a book called Sonoma County, and I want to talk about what it takes to conceive, create, and publish a book that people actually buy. These two people have done it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit with them. And then I am just coming off the photography workshop where we went to Safari West, Fall Color, all that good stuff, hanging out with our own virtual camera club members. And I'll tell you, I get so energized every time I do this. So I got to share a little bit about that with you. And we have more, so much more. So instead of me telling you what I'm going to do, let's start doing it. The weekly update. CT Digital Photography reports noteworthy announcements from Photo Plus Expo. So there are a few items that jumped out. It wasn't a gigantic show in terms of announcements. And what I mean by that, there wasn't any DSLR bombs from Nikon or Canon, you know, no new top of the line. We didn't know it was coming sort of things. But there was a lot of good stuff. And the more I researched it, the more good stuff there seemed to be. So the things that really jumped out at me from the show, you know, and announcements started, oh, about 10 days ahead of time and ran up through the first day or so of the show. The G5X by Canon. It's a compact camera, has an electronic viewfinder, a 1-inch sensor. It's $799, but I tell you, it looks cool. The functionality seems terrific, and it is very, very compact. I think it's going to be a sweet little camera. I would love to get my palm on it, right? Saying get my hands on it. Well, you know, there's a joke there. Photography joke, right? They also had a solid printer announcement, and they added a little red line to their top-of-the-line printer, like the L series. I thought that was cute. Sony dropped the RX1R Mark II with 42-megapixel sensor and EVF. Ah, nice camera. Big price tag, over $3,000. The good news is the RX1R Mark I dropped to only about $2,800. So there you go. Save a few hundred bucks that way, about $500 that way. But it looks like a sweet camera. Again, full frame sensor, fast size lens. Tasty. And then Leica surprised us with their first mirrorless camera, the SL System Type 601. It's a full frame mirrorless, and it's a little bit bigger than what we're used to seeing in mirrorless cameras. But unlike some of the other full framers out there in the mirrorless world, it really has a robust burst mode. It's, you know, what they've done is they've taken the bigger camera, I think, to help control the heat so that they can increase performance and still have full frame in a relatively compact body with a mirrorless viewfinder, electronic viewfinder. That little baby, though, is going to cost you well over $7,000. And then the lenses that they announced with it, they're rather large. So, you know, the whole package, it's not big by DSLR standards, but it is rather large by mirrorless standards, but it's very handsome, and I can't wait to see what the reports are going to be on it. Sigma piled on with a 20 millimeter f1.4 for full framers. Yeah, 20 millimeters f1.4 for Nikon and Canon. Wow. It's a pretty big lens, though, but wow, it looks pretty cool. It's one that I would also love to test. And then my favorite, this is my favorite announcement from PPE. Fujifilm unveiled the weather-sealed 35mm f2.0 lens at $399. So if you shoot with X-mount, you know, the X-T1, the X-10, this lens, I would think, would be a must-buy. $399, 35mm f2.0, and it's weather-sealed, and it looks great. So that is my pick from PPE. But all of these things, well, you know, they would be fun to play with. In other news, how to make a dead simple DIY speedlight grid. What they've done here is that they have shown you a simple way to make a grid using nothing more than straws, tape, scissors, and thick construction paper. And if you're wondering what a grid is, it's funny, I was just playing with one. It looks like a honeycomb that you put over your speed light or whatever your light source is, and it narrows the beam. And I was using it for portraits for a dramatic effect where you bring the light in from the side and it just lights up part of the face or part of the shoulder or something like that. So instead of having the light spread wide, as it tends to do with our speed lights, it narrows that beam and allows you to direct it for a specific type of effect. And it's really kind of cool. And you can buy them commercially. The one that I use is by Rogue. And it's pretty cool and it's not that expensive. But literally, you can make one out of black straws in not much time by following this DIY tutorial. If you find yourself with a little time on your hands and you want to make an accessory that you'll have fun using as well as making, then you might want to check out this post from Imaging Resource. I have the links to everything in the show notes, and that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, interview with Simone Wilson and John Hershey. Simone Wilson has authored the beautiful, informative Sonoma Coast book featuring images by herself and TDS member John Hershey. I sit down with both of them at the TDS studio to discuss what it takes to conceive, author, and publish a book. And I'm really excited about having them on the show because this is something that a lot of us think about. Wouldn't it be great to have a book in Amazon where other people could buy it? This is exactly what they've done. Simone talks about, you know, how she got to the point where she could do this. John talks how he got pulled into the project and, you know, how the whole thing just came together. They're down-to-earth people, they're good artists, and they're having some success right now. And I thought, well, this is a great time for them to tell us their story. Who knows? One of you might be the next person that I have on the show talking about this very subject. So here we go. Let's chat with Simone and John here at the TDS studio. All right, I'm sitting here with Simone Wilson and John Hershey. And together, they have put together this wonderful book called Sonoma Coast, which we're going to be carrying in the Nimble Photographer Store. You're going to love it. It's a 96-page guide that features this coastline that I love so much here that we do workshops up here with. And just quickly, Simone, before we really get into the making of the book, you're a real writer. You're a professional writer.
Yes, I'm a writer. I moved up here from Southern California in 1980, and most of the work I've done has been journalism as a reporter, calendar editor, feature editor on various newspapers, and freelance writer for newspapers and magazines. And about 15 years ago, I took a detour into writing books, mostly for a press called Arcadia Publishing, which is back east.
And this is the fourth book.
This is the fourth book I've done. The others were in a series that was more historically oriented with photos from museum and library archives. This is a new series called Modern America, and it features color photos with background to about mid-20th century.
Nice. So I love this book, by the way, and part of the reason why we're going to put it in the store. And every spread has like three, four photos. I mean, it's something that you can just flip through and enjoy. Lots of great information here. When I'm looking at this book, I'm going,
there's a lot. I mean, you got historical photos here, Simone, you got current stuff. Tell me a little bit about putting the photography together on this, because you're a photographer, you're working with John here, who's a photographer. How did you pull all of this together that in this collection that we have here?
Well, one way I got the assignment to do the book is I told the press that I had a network of people to draw on, and institutions like libraries and museums and archives, that I knew where the photos were, and I could pull them out and put them together into a book. I've known John for several years. He and my husband have bicycled together quite a bit, and we're in the same photo clubs. And he was one of the people I contacted early on because I knew he had wonderful photos of the coast.
So you had your stuff. I mean, you've been, when we talked earlier, you've been shooting pictures of this area for how long?
Oh, about 30 years.
About 30 years, right? Yeah. So, 30 years of stuff. But just like when you're working on any big project like this, you find gaps, right? There are things you go, God, I wish I had a shot of that, or I really need a nice illustration of this.
Exactly. So in some cases, I called on people that I thought were involved in coastal preservation or even running businesses who would have photos that would fill in those gaps. And in other cases, I went after the coast and shot a bunch of pictures that would fill those gaps, especially as the project wore on and I felt I had certain things I wanted to fill in, like pictures of the Wallala Estuary, and Sea Ranch, and Salt Point, things like that.
So I'm curious, because we're all kind of camera gearheads here. So when you go out on your hikes, what kind of camera are you taking with you?
I have a 70D Canon, and I always take a tripod for these. Somebody said, should you use a tripod? And then the answer was, only the pictures you want to keep. So the hardest assignment was going out to Salt Point, because the day I went out there to take a few more pictures, it was very windy, and every time I uncovered the lens, poof, spray shot right at me. Nice salt spray towards your camera.
Yeah.
So
I hate that.
Yeah.
So
quickly took a shot and then, put the lens cap back on.
So you kind of rely on your 70D. I'm guessing you have a nice little zoom lens on there that you like.
I have two lenses. Uh-huh. I have a wide-angle lens and 18 to 55, and then a 55 to 200.
Nice. Yeah. So you got a nice little kit there. You have a backpack or a shoulder. How do you carry yourself?
Usually just take a regular day pack and put all the essentials in it. And there's room in there for the camera itself if it's windy or drizzly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll carry the camera and just all the other stuff in a regular backpack.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So you and John knew each other for a while, right? So John, I'm going to turn it over to you now. How did you end up in the middle of this really pretty book?
Well, one of the many ways that my path crossed with Simone and Creighton was at the photo clubs. And so they were aware of some of my work. And Simone asked me, I'm located in Bodega Bay. I'm kind of embedded in Bodega Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken a lot of coastal shots, not only right in Bodega Bay, but in West County, because when I was riding my bike, I would be able to stop. And the fog doesn't cooperate, the sea spray doesn't cooperate, the wind doesn't cooperate. But so wherever you are with a camera when it's a good time, often was on a bike, and I took some pictures that way. Otherwise, I've recently gotten into birds, shorebirds and things like that. Simone is an excellent bird identifier. So,
oh, that's nice.
I would
more compatibility.
Send a picture and say, is this this or is this that?
Right. Yeah.
So, and
she's going, it's neither.
Most of the time. Right. We've got the herons and the egrets and the pelicans now, but, Anyway, so she asked me if she could look through my archives, and I gave her my Flickr and Smug Mug addresses, and she picked out photos. Some of them I had to dig for because my archiving needs work, especially now with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's referring to the aperture situation.
Oh, yes. Our household is going through.
Yeah.
And I was really happy with her selection. So I have a good representation in the book.
Nice. So a couple things come to mind while you're talking. One is just really the value of getting your stuff off your hard drive onto somewhere where people can see it. Right. And then the other value of especially for those of us that are writers, photographers, and we want to work on projects like this, we want to do something is, you know, the value of being in a place where other photographers and writers are hanging out, right? That's how these collaborations form. Generally speaking, they're not going to send you an email out of nowhere. So all this work that you've done in the years as a writer and just following your passion, and then you, same thing, and then the moment arises and you guys work on this really cool book here. So Simone, how long did it take to make this book?
There are two answers to that.
Okay.
The simple answer is 7 months. I worked out with the press when it should come out, which was this summer, and they gave me a deadline that was about 7 months later. And the long answer is 7 months and 30 years. 30
right.
years representing the time I've been hiking out on the coast and taking photos and learning about the plants and the mushrooms and the birds and the people who live out there.
Exactly. And it's interesting, isn't it? When I, you know, one of my favorite phrases in this business is, you know, overnight sensation, right? Yeah. No, people just found out about you. You know, you've been doing it for decades, right? John, how long have you been shooting?
Well, I'm putting together a brochure, so I had to actually research that.
Uh-huh.
And I came up with 48 years.
48 years. Wow. Yeah, so you started when you were 2 years old. That's
exactly.
A joke. Yes, yeah. That's right. So I asked Simone about her gear. When you're out shooting, I mean, what are you carrying these days? What's your go-to rig?
Well, I'm a Canon person, mm-hmm. and I have a 5D Mark II and a 7D. For bird photography, I have a new 100 to 400 Canon Series 2.
How do you like that lens?
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. And I still have my event photography lens is a 24 to 105.
Mm-hmm.
My portrait lens is an 85-1.8. Thanks to your podcast, I bought a 50.
Yeah, you got to have that 50. Did you get the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
You got to have the 50.
And, you know, I have a 70 to 200. And I also
the F4 or the 2.8?
The F4.
Yeah, F4. Well, that's light. See, it's more nimble.
Right.
It's more
right.
nimble. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I do have a little Canon 120,
mm-hmm.
S120,
mm-hmm.
for...
That's a cool little camera.
Bike riding is difficult to carry a lot of gear,
yeah.
so
yeah.
you have to find a camera that'll work for you and still give you a decent image.
Yeah, that's a cool little camera. The shot right there of the motorcycle girl in D.C., that's with that 85-1.8. And I love talking about that lens because it was a lens that I bought back in the film days for shooting weddings. And to this day, it's one of my favorite lenses. And, you know, that really speaks to the, you know, when you're trying to justify buying a lens, you know, you go, look, but this is something I'm going to have for a long time and use for many years. That 85-1.8, that's my justification for other stuff.
I have a fisheye 15
mm-hmm.
that I bought maybe 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And it still works.
I know. It's awesome. It's awesome. So. A lot of folks that listen to the show write and take pictures and are very good at both. What kind of tips, Simone, do you have for folks that like projects like this, that want to do, let's say, a cool book or something like that? I mean, what are the things that, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. I'm sure you've picked up a few things along the way that have helped you as you progress with your career.
I worked for a number of small newspapers where you not only wrote stories and took photographs, you also did the layout. And in fact, one of the jobs I had was doing typesetting as well as writing. You wear many, many hats at small newspapers. The good part is you get to try out different things, and if you do it well or you like it, they let you keep on doing it.
Yeah.
So in fact, I learned quite a bit about typography and layout. And part of my background is taking photo for events where you're not just taking one photo that's going to be framed and put on a wall. You're taking photos that will illustrate an event. So there might be an establishing shot that shows the whole area with people doing things and then close-ups of people making things or playing music, something like that. So I'm used to looking for photos that complement each other.
Telling a story,
yeah.
right? You're actually...
Yeah.
So, I mean, that brings me to something now that I'm really curious about. In terms of the layout of this book, how involved were you and how much did your knowledge that you picked up along the way help you with, you know, the way that this book looks, which is lovely?
The press sends a template. First they do the cover, and they mm-hmm. basically sent a cover with rectangles that were blank,
right.
saying, choose photos that will fit in these blanks.
Yes.
So I did that, and then they sent me the cover, and I thought, great, that looks very nice. Mm-hmm. Three of the covers on the front are John's, and two of them are mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, this is good, because they've presented me with something that I think looks good, so I have more confidence in the book looking good.
Right.
Then they send a template for the rest of the book. So basically I choose where the photos are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
One way that helps, for instance, is if you have a photo where a boat is going one direction or horses are going another direction, mm-hmm. you put them in so they're not wandering off the page, they're facing into the center. So I had complete control over that, which photos are going to go on the top and bottom of each page.
Mm-hmm. Now, these templates, are they in InDesign, or are they Word templates, or how? What are you doing on the computer there?
It actually was printed out.
Oh.
They sent a packet that had a paper version, although I also got it online, so I could print it out again if I wanted to. Yeah.
That's so interesting. So you're working with a hard copy then?
Well, I was, mm-hmm. which is nice. You know, the pencil is a good tool. You can erase it. And so I would write in the numbers of the photos, and then if I wanted to change it, I'd just change it there. It's really easier in a way to have the whole thing laid out, because I could put a number of pages out at a time and visualize what they're going to look at.
That's the thing that paper is good for, isn't it?
Yeah, and because of the background I had, I pretty much knew what the pages would look like when they were printed.
Mm-hmm. Load all this up onto an FTP site or something like that.
I had to give her a certain megabyte high-res file.
Uh-huh.
And then she sent them to them. I'm not sure how she did that.
TIFFs. Maybe. They wanted TIFFs.
Yeah, but did you Dropbox it? Or?
Yes. Well, the initial ones were Dropbox.
Uh-huh.
The very last one, because there were so many images that were about 25 megabytes each,
uh-huh.
that I sent them to two DVDs.
Oh, you just sent one on...
Kind of clunky, put it in the mail.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
DVDs, all this wonderful computer work, and then snail mail.
Right.
Well, no, actually FedEx, but...
But, you know, it's actually rather comforting, you know, because you know, the folks are thinking, oh, wow, I mean, I have to learn, you know, all this stuff, and actually... This allows you to focus more on the content and not be so worried about having to learn InDesign or do something like that, right? Mm-hmm. You're able just to say, I'm focusing on the book here.
The previous three books I did for them, I did do a layout in PageMaker, which is what I used 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Did you have specs for the pictures? You know, the certain size, color space, any of that kind of stuff? Or
I tried to... Well, the reason that the archiving came up, all those stuff was on Flickr and SmugMug. They weren't the original high-res
models. Right, so you had to find those.
So I had to find them. Mm-hmm. I converted them to TIFFs if necessary.
Uh-huh.
And they were raw, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And gave them to her to send to the publisher.
Nice.
Giving me a chance to do a little correction if necessary with the conversion.
Absolutely. So now that you look at the book, now that you've had a chance to live with it, how long has it been out, Simone?
About 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Now you've had a chance to live with it and everything. How do you feel, you know, about this? And you know, when you look at it, you know, we're always picky. We always see stuff we want to change. Don't tell us that. Don't. I never like to, that's one of my tips. Never tell people the things you don't like about it. But, you know, how are you feeling about the guide now?
Well, I don't think of it as a guide,
mm-hmm.
because I wouldn't want people to think that it's a hiking guide,
right.
because it isn't that.
Right.
It doesn't say where the trailhead is and how many miles it is to mm-hmm. the Mammoth Rocks and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of very good hiking guides for the Sonoma Coast, and those are easily available.
One of the reasons why I'm interested in the book is because I do a lot of workshops out here, and people like to add on. If they're coming all the way from Texas or Missouri or something, they want to stay a few extra days, and I like having books that they can look at beforehand or have with them here, so they can sort of decide, well, I want to go here, I want to go there after the workshop. I think this book is great for that. You know, as you've mentioned before, it's not a guide. It doesn't tell you what trailheads are, but it really does capture the essence of this area, the Sonoma Coast area, wouldn't you say?
The final two chapters are about parks. Chapter 6 is parks in the southern part of the county, which is, in other words, from the Bodega Bay area to the Russian River,
mm-hmm.
and the second one from the Russian River up to Walla River, which is the boundary.
And John, what do you what's your take on this?
Well, I like the way she's organized it. Mm-hmm. It's not a guide. It's sort of the emotional experience of the Sonoma Coast in mm-hmm. LA. The chapters are called Natural Treasures, Commerce by the Sea, Community Service, and Art for a Special Place, as among others. So mm-hmm. it's really organized by subject, and you know that gives the photography a good way to be framed, I think, instead of saying A to B on this trail or something like
exactly, that. Exactly, exactly, which focuses more on the logistical aspect instead of the emotional aspect. So what parts of this do you really like? I mean, what really resonates with you?
Well, I like my photos.
Yeah. Well, I've seen your photos in there. That's kind of cool, huh?
I think Simone did an excellent job in captioning the photos mm-hmm. and researched everything. Mm-hmm. And she's been very diligent to make sure that none of the information is not correct. I mean, she's got an amazing talent for doing all that. So I like that aspect of it. And after you get over the photography, after you initially look at that, mm-hmm. you go, wow, look at that, look at mm-hmm. that. And then you read the book. You know, that's how I approached it anyway, since yeah. I'm a photographer. It really makes a lot of sense and is a good experience.
Nice. Excellent.
Part of the journalism background I have worked into this book, because when you're a journalist at small newspapers, or really any newspapers, you end up writing about a lot of different topics and you have to be a quick study.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a book like this is a little bit like doing a story about 100 different topics. And there are some photos in here for which I had maybe an inch thick file to draw on.
Mm-hmm.
And reducing that to 100 words is quite a bag of tricks. It's actually easier to make a caption when you don't know very much.
That's true. Well, thank you so much for you guys sitting down with us. The book, Sonoma Coast. It's in the Nimble store now. Take a look at it. Just really appreciate you both sitting down and having a cup of coffee with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
That was terrific. Thanks so much, Simone. Thanks so much, John. I really enjoyed chatting with you. And guess what? We're going to sell the book in the Nimble store. So I'm going to put that book in the store. There'll be it'll show right up there with everything else that we have in there. And what's cool about the edition that we're selling is that it's going to be signed by both of them. So signed editions. Every book that goes out the door from the Nimble store will be signed by both Simone and John. And I tell you, it's a terrific book. And especially if you're thinking about coming to Northern California, you want to have this book. It will really help you get a feel for the adventures that you can experience during your visit. Story number two, wrap up from the TVS Fall Photography Workshop. So, okay, so I'll admit it, I'm a little tired today. I've been going to get ready for the workshop and recording a new title for Linda at the same time. Then we had this fantastic workshop. And then I had to go back to recording for Linda this morning and then doing the podcast this afternoon and well into the night. So if I'm a little tongue-tied today, please forgive me, but I'll tell you, it was worth it. We had such a great time. So here's the thing that stands out for me every time that I spend time with you guys and gals, members of our virtual camera club, is that you guys come with so much talent and passion and enthusiasm and love, just love for photography, and having the opportunity to share your enthusiasm with other people for a couple days where we don't think about anything else but what we're doing. It is great. I tell you, it is so contagious. And, you know, when other people meet us while we're out and about, you know, folks that I know or strangers or whatever, they all get caught up in the enthusiasm too. So Safari West, as always, was magical, and maybe this time even more magical than some of the other visits. The animals were interacting in ways where you're just going, oh, I can't believe we're getting to see this. I can't believe that the longhorn cattle are deciding to go down to the lake to get water, something they do once a day, right now while we're here. And we get to watch them do this. We follow them down. We're photographing them the whole way in our crazy four-wheel drive vehicle. We're watching them as they wade in the water. And then they come back out, and then they head out again. We're watching a baby zebra interacting with her mom and just playing and nibbling on her and tormenting her while she's trying to eat, and how the mom is so patient, you know, not ignoring her, but not reprimanding her either, and just letting the little baby be the baby. And talk about, you know, a photo op. We were all talking about, we were comparing how many frames all of us shot just on the zebras. And believe me, for some of us, it went into the hundreds just on the zebras. On average, we shot between 800 and 1200 frames at Safari West. Just that'll tell you, you know, what kind of afternoon we had there. We saw the Cape Buffalo. We saw all sorts of antelope and impala and those related. We saw giraffe, of course. We saw some very exotic African birds, cranes and so forth. I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. We got back around dusk, and we could have probably walked some. You know, when we got back, we got off the truck. Everyone, I think their eyes were so full, as well as their memory cards, that they were just ready to get back to the studio and start looking at their pictures. So we called it a day after that. And then the next morning, we got up and we went out for a landscape shoot early in the morning up at Dry Creek, which is north of Healdsburg, California. And it was just a beautiful morning, fresh air, quiet. And we're just out there shooting fall color, vineyards, trees, old fences, all that kind of stuff. Very, very nice. I tell you, for whatever sleep I lost over this thing, it was totally worth it. So anyway, I published some of our favorite pictures from the class slideshow. We do a slideshow as the last event of each workshop where we share pictures with one another. So I picked a shot from each of our participants, and it's in a post on the digital story right now. You should go look at it. You should go look and see, you know, what your peers, our fellow members of this virtual camera club, what they're doing when they're out at these workshops. All right. So anyway, I just wanted to thank everyone who turned out for this. And I want to thank all of you for supporting the workshop series. And I hope that at some point, each one of you gets to come out, either meet me here or one of our other locations and experience this, because it is unlike anything else that I do in my photography life. Story number three, from the screening room. Up and running with Photo Magico with Richard Harrington. Slideshows are a great way to showcase your favorite photos. Photo Magico is an easy-to-use Mac application for exporting high-quality slideshows in a variety of formats, including movies, DVDs, and even standalone iOS apps. It lets you combine photos and music, as well as add narration, movies, transitions, and movement. In this course, Richard shows you how to set up a new slideshow, customize the display and playback options, enhance the slideshow with layers, graphics, and watermarks, and publish it as a self-contained movie, an iOS app, or as a reel for posting on YouTube or Vimeo. I chose this one because I'm a big fan of Photo Magico. Boink Software, who produces it, has been working on this app for years. It has evolved into something that, I tell you, is really stunning. We can make slideshows with our regular apps, Aperture, Lightroom, Photos for OS 10, all that. But if you really want to author something that's just crazy good and have a variety of output options, unlike with the other apps that we use, you really need to take a look at Photo Magico. And to help you get up to speed with it, this title on lynda.com will really get your feet wet quickly and get you producing some terrific stuff. So you can watch Richard in action by visiting lynda.com. And his title is Up and Running with Photo Magico, F-O-T-O-M-A-G-I-C-O. And if you want a 7-day free trial, just go to the TDS screening room, lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A, lynda.com/thedigitalstory. Okay, let's do a little virtual camera club news. I have a note from TDS member Kevin Miller about Red River Paper. And he did a little research. He did a little price comparisons with Epson stock and Red River Paper stock. And he mainly focused on 10 mil thickness paper, which is a nice thickness, in either the luster or the satin finish. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the pricing with Red River, how you get a good deal. And, of course, the paper is top notch. But he actually researched the pricing and he wrote me with it. And I wanted to share it with you right now. We're looking at 13 by 19 inch paper, 10 mil thickness, and the Epson Ultra Premium Luster from the Epson site is $2.30 per sheet, $115 for a box of 50. The Ultra Premium Luster Epson again from B&H Photo is $77.50. That's the price that he found, or $1.55 per sheet. So that is quite a difference in price on the Epson paper from B&H Photo to on their own site. Now, Red River Arctic Polar Satin, which is also 10 mil, it's actually 10.5 mil thick, which was the closest mil thickness in that type of surface that Kevin could find to the Epson, 13 by 19 inches, 50 sheets, is $64.76, or $1.30 per sheet. So Red River is $1.30, Epson from B&H, $1.55, and Epson from the Epson site, $2.30 per sheet. Now, Kevin did find a luster that's thicker by Red River paper, but the thicker version of the luster was more expensive than the Epson from B&H, but less than the Epson from the Epson site. It's kind of an apples or oranges thing because the stock is a little bit different. If you're thinking about, or if you've always wondered, well, really, what is the pricing difference? This just gives you just a little sample. And I really thank Kevin for doing that, for doing some research on this. By the way, the luster and the satin, those are my favorite surfaces. And the Arctic Polar version of the satin and the luster by Red River Paper is my absolute favorite. Some great information there. Thanks so much, Kevin, for doing that for us. And you can learn more about Red River Paper by clicking on their tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. And you can also visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, let's see what else we got here. Just wanted to remind you that now is the time to be ordering your sizzle picks for the holiday, the 5K ultra high definition sizzle picks. As always, we had nice conversation here at the studio about the sizzle picks on the wall during the workshop. I thought that was pretty fun. It's just great. I just love talking about them and talking about the images and all that stuff. The one thing that I wanted to let you know is make sure that you order your sizzle picks early if you are going to do holiday gifts, and that if you order two, you know, any two sizzle picks to be shipped together, they'll give you a 20% off that second sizzle picks. So you can order one as a gift, order one for yourself, and save 20% off the second one. So don't delay. Believe me, the holiday is going to creep up on us really fast. Get this done now. Pick out your favorite images. Order them at sizzlepix.com, sizzlpix.com. They also have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. And it's like a retina display that you hang on the wall. And now it's an ultra high definition retina display. Sizzlepix, they are terrific. All right, anything else here that we need to talk about? Oh, one of the members, one of the workshop participants asked me, he says, hey, you know, I want to review the podcast, but I couldn't find how. And what you have to do is you have to go to where the podcast is on iTunes. What you have to do is go to the store, the iTunes store, find the podcast, and you'll see a little review button there. Make sure that you're logged in. Click on that review button and you can post your review. And I really like having new reviews in there because when people come over, when they hear about me from somewhere else and they come over, they see fresh reviews there, then they know the podcast is alive and well. And those of you that have posted reviews in the last year, I really, really appreciate it. And finally, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, please click on the respective ad tile under the products header in the box halfway down the second column on thedigitalstory.com. By clicking on that box first, you help support the site. Once you click on it and you go over to B&H or you go over to Amazon, then you can search for whatever you want. And when you make your purchase, it helps support this podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm still jacked about the workshop. I've got lots of great stuff for you next week. Make sure you come back. Thank you so much for spending time with me. See you next time. Bye-bye now.